ॐ नमः श्री ज्योतिराजाय विवेकानंद सूरय सचित सुख स्वरूपाय स्वामी ने तापहारिणी आई बाव डाउन टू विवेकानंद हु इज द किंग अमंग द मॉन्क्स and hero among human beings, who is the embodiment of existence, consciousness, bliss, absolute, and who was born to do good to humanity. We bow down to Swami Vivekananda again and again. Om Shanti, 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 peace, peace, peace be unto all. We are studying Swami Vivekananda on himself. Chapter is Discipleship, page 15. As I always remind you, his life was very short, 39 years. 5 months, 24 days. But his message was very long. He says it will continue for 1500 years. Amazing person. Before he came to Sri Ramakrishna, he was a Brahmo. He did not believe God with form. He did not believe in Guru, Guruvad. He did not believe in Avatar. He did not believe in Advaitavad, non-dualism. He did not believe in Janmantaravad, reincarnation. This person was extremely proud of his intellect, physically strong, mentally strong, morally strong, spiritually strong, and a great lover of truth, passion for truth. I want to know the truth. This person came to Sri Ramakrishna, who was an unlettered person, temple priest. Sri Ramakrishna did not force him to change him. He did not frighten him. He did not argue with him. He only gave him experience. As I always say, Vedanta goes in three ways, Vedantic tradition. First, Shruti. They will quote you the Upanishad, the scriptures. Well, I do not believe in the scriptures. Second, Jukti, reason. Lower reason can be counteracted by higher reason. Whereas you are more intelligent than me, you can chop up all my arguments. That is called reasoning. Third, experience. Experience cannot be caught, cannot be nullified. You have tasted sugar. If I say sugar tastes sour or bitter, you will not take my words. I taste sugar every day, and you say sugar tastes sour. It does not work. That is the way Sri Ramakrishna was teaching Swami Vivekananda. Experience, experience. So that this person cannot argue. If you have the experience, you cannot argue. that is happening. He just came a straight question, have you seen God? Yes. I see you more clearly than, I see God more clearly than I see you. He was dumbfounded. Well, I have never heard such thing from anybody. Sri Ramakrishna touched him and he had the experience. The whole room, house, everything was completely disappearing. Completely disappearing. So what to do? What are you doing? What are you doing? I have parents at home. Again Sri Ramakrishna touched his chest. Again the word appeared. After that experience he is talking about. Thoughts like these occupied my mind during the whole of that day. But he became quite another person after the incident. And as on the previous occasion, treated me with great kindness and cordiality. His behavior towards me was like that of a man who meets an old friend or relative after long separation. He seemed not to be satisfied with entertaining and taking all possible care of me. This remarkably loving treatment drew me all the more to him. At last, finding that the day was coming to a close, I asked leave to go. He seemed very dejected at this and gave me permission only after I had promised to come again at my earliest convenience. You'll have to understand, Dakshineshwar to Calcutta, Vivekananda's house, nearly 7-8 miles. He was thinking that he's a temple priest. First he told, son, I have not come here to hear anything from you. You are an unlettered person. I read Eastern, Western philosophy, thoughts, everything I know. That is all right, Dajan. Just come, Dakshineshwar temple garden, nice, nice place on the bank of the Ganges. And he was experiencing love. You know, when somebody loves, we question. Is this person has any motive? First thing, just this person expects anything from me. Whether this love is conditional or unconditional. You see, Swamiji explained love. Love is a triangle. The first angle of love triangle is love knows no fear. Where there is fear, there cannot be any love. No love can come through fear. Second, angle of love triangle is love knows no bargaining. No bargain. I shall give you $1 million. Will you love me? It does not go that way. Third, love for love's sake. That is another thing. These are the things we find about love. He was thinking, this man really loves me. You see, love cannot be expressed. Narada says, Mukha Swadhanavat. You gave a sumptuous feast to a person and ask, how is the food? That person cannot speak. Through the gesture and posture, through the facial expression, you can say, yes, this food is good. Love is like that. You cannot express, I love you. Of course, that is American mantra all the time. Here, I sometimes say, do you know what is American mantra? I love you, I miss you. All the time, boys, girls, even people are all the time chanting this mantra. I love you, I miss you, I love you, I miss you. Then one Canadian girl taught me another mantra. But Swami, add one more. Uncle, which one? I need you. All the time people say, I love you, I miss you, I love you, I miss you. Love cannot be defined. You can feel it that this person really loves me. Sri Ramakrishna was La personified. That is the way Swami Vivekananda defined Ramakrishna. L-O-V-E personified. One day in the temple garden of Dakshinesha, Sri Ramakrishna touched me over the heart. And first of all, I began to see that the houses, rooms, doors, windows, verandas, the trees, the sun, the moon, all are flying off, shattering to pieces as it were, reduced to atoms and molecules, and ultimately became merged in the akasha. Akasha means space. Gradually again, the akasha also vanished. And after that, my consciousness of the ego with it. What happened next, I do not recollect. I was at first frightened. Coming back from that state, again I began to see the houses, doors, windows, verandas, and other things. On another occasion, I had exactly the same realization by the sight of a lake in America. A derangement, then it is Swamiji is talking with his disciple Sarachandra Chakravarti. Well, sir, is it right? He is telling. A derangement of the brain? How can you call it so? When it comes neither as the result of delirium from any disease, nor of intoxication from drinking, nor as an illusion produced by various sorts of queer breathing exercises, but when it comes to a normal man in full possession of his health and wits, then again, this experience is in perfect harmony with the Vedas. It also coincides with the words of realization of the inspired rishis and acharyas of the old. Do you take me at last to be a cracked brain man? Swamiji is telling to his disciple. Know that this knowledge of oneness is what the scriptures speak of as realization of Brahman, by knowing which one gets rid of fear and the shackles of birth and death breaks forever. Having once realized that supreme bliss, one is no more overwhelmed by the pleasure and pain of this world. Three things happen simultaneously. Vasanakkhay, Manunash, Tattvagyan, according to Yoga Vasishtha Ramayana. If your mind has no desire, what will happen? Mind sinks. Who keeps your mind moving? It is desire. In deep sleep, mind is not working. So the moment desire stops, mind stops. When mind stops, illumination comes. But how is it possible, Swami? Swamiji in Rajyoga gave this illustration. You have a swimming pool, perhaps 10, 12 feet deep. There is perhaps a ball or jewelry or something fell into the swimming pool. If the top of the swimming pool is rough, wavy, you cannot see it. If it is quiet, serene, you can see the bottom of your swimming pool. Similarly, when mind is clean, free from desire, you can see the Atman. Whole problem is in the mind. Mind brings bondage, mind brings liberation. If you think I am free, you are free. If you think I am a sinner, you are sinner. Everything is in the mind. That Swamiji was talking about. That experience. Then he talked about, that means Samadhi. Swamiji said this thing happened on the Lakeshore Drive in Chicago. One day he was seated there and he was thinking, on the Lake Michigan. He was thinking, why am I in this country? And seeing the beautiful lake, he merged into Samadhi. Another place Swamiji had Nirvikalpa Samadhi was in New Hampshire, Camp Percy. I went there in 1987. There is a lake called Lake Christine, 4 miles long, beautiful lake. There, Swamiji had again that Nirvikalpa Samadhi. Third, in Thousand Island Park in 1895, under the oak tree, Swamiji also lost outer consciousness. So, according to a record, the three places in America, Swamiji had Nirvikalpa Samadhi. What happens? When the Samadhi comes, experience comes, kva gautam kutra linam. I was watching this world, where does it repair, where does it go? Where has it disappeared? That kind of experience comes. You transcend space and time. And when you have that experience, the scripture says, na vibhiti kadachana, na vibhiti kutashana. You will be completely free from fear. No more fear from anybody in your life. You will be completely fearless from that non-dualistic experience. The supreme bliss fully exists in all, from Brahma down to the blade of grass. You are also that undivided Brahman, being again and again entangled in the intricate maze of delusion and heart hit by sorrows and afflictions. The eye will turn of itself to one's own real nature, the inner self. It is owing to the presence of this desire for bliss in the heart that man, getting heart shocks one after another, turns his eye inward to his own self. A time is sure to come to everyone, without exception, when he will do so to one, it may be in this life, to another, after thousands of incarnations. Swamiji was telling that this experience is not exclusively for one person. This experience will come eventually to every soul in this world. Why? Because that is your goal. That is your real home. You see, sometimes we get various kinds of shocks from Maya. Somebody will betray you, disease, death, losing job, various kinds of problems, unending problems in this human life. They are sometimes angels unawares. They are our true friends. They are pushing me. There is no fun in this world. Go within, go within, go within. So when we constantly get shocks and shocks and shocks from the outside world, shh, why? I am chasing this Maya. Funny, one thing happened, I have never seen that one. I went to do a memorial service of one of our devotees in Kansas City. He married three times. And when he died, all three wives came. All three wives came to the memorial service, and all three were crying. I had never such experience in my life. This person, first marriage, an American, white. Second marriage was African-American. Third marriage was a Japanese. And all three girls came and crying. He was in Vietnam in war. What I wanted to say is that how to go within. You see, the Upanishad tells us this is the city of Brahman. Inside that city, in the heart chakra, there is a lotus. Inside that lotus, there is a minute space. Inside that space is the Atman. That Atman and your chosen deity are the same. This Atman, but Swami, you see Atman, Atman, what is Atman? Upanishad tells us, ya Atma. Apohato papma, bijaru, bimritu, bishoka, bijigitsa, apipasa, sotyakama, sotyasankalpa, saiva anastibya, saiva vijikansitibya. Upanishad tells us, Chandogya Upanishad chapter 8. E atma apahata papma, sinless. There is no sin in the atman. Bijaro, no jara, no disease, no old age in the atman. Ever fresh. Bimrittu, deathless. Bishoka, griefless. Bijigitsa, free from hunger. Bapipasa, free from thirst. It is of truth, it is deliberations are truth, it is the truth. That you should know. You know, these Upanishad, these rishis, gave us straight answer where to go. That is your real nature. His body, you may be Miss Universe, doesn't matter, he will die. I sometimes see, you know, in the television, you know, before and after, you know, facelift, they are showing the girl, women, you know, elderly women facelift, and oh, I look now so young. So yeah, I went to my dentist's office. They said, you know, before and after, he does some cosmetic dental work. So seeing him, I told him that, you know, I got an inspiration sitting in your doctor's office before and after. So I gave a lecture on that, before and after. When people come first time Vedanta, I shall take a picture of your face. And after 12 years, 10 years, I shall take another picture. Then I shall see that how it works. Some people say, oh, Swami, I am coming to Vedanta 10 years, 12 years, I am not getting anything. One Hollywood actress told me. I told him, I do not trust you at all. I do not believe in you. Why, Swami? You are coming Vedanta, you know, 7, 8 years. Both we came together in Hollywood in 71. You do not see any difference. But Swami, I see difference. Previously in New York, I was a wild woman. Now I calm down. Vedanta does not promise that within 3 months I shall give you illumination. It depends upon you. Do you know how does the Vedanta works? Vedanta works in a very subtle way. In our part of the country, generally in autumn, we have 6 seasons. After rainy seasons come autumn. September, October, or October, November, middle of September to middle of October, middle of October to middle of November. That is autumn. At that time, dew comes, dew drops. The dew drops early in the morning, if you go on the grass, it is all wet. Flower bed, wet. And then, when sun rises, the dew drops evaporates. The whole night, the dew drops nourishes. Dew drops nourish the trees, plants, flowers, fruits. And then unperceptibly it vaporized, it disappeared. Vedanta works that way. It will let you know how it is working. It is slowly, slowly, slowly it will seep in inside your mind. And after 5 or 10 years you will see, my goodness, what I was and what I am now. That is before and after. Before, really, your whole life will change. Bound to change. That is the way Vedanta works. No promise, nothing of the sort that within 6 months, $1,500 please give. Within 6 months, I shall make you a yogi. We do not do those type of business. Go inside. Seeing that the master gave no thought to himself on account of me, I did not hesitate on occasion to use harsh words about his blind love for me. I used to warn him, saying that if he constantly thought of me, he would become like me, even as King Bharata, of the old legend, who so devoted upon the pet deer that even at the time of death he was unable to think of anything else, and as a result was born as a deer in his next life. At these words, the master, so simple was he, became very nervous and said, "What you say is quite true. What is to become of me? For I cannot bear to be separated from you." Dejected, he went to the Kali temple. In a few minutes, he returned, smiling, and said, "You rogue, I shall not listen to you anymore. Mother says that I love you because I see the Lord in you. And the day I no longer do so, I shall not be able to bear even the sight of you." With this short but emphatic statement, he dismissed once for all everything that I had ever said to him on that subject. Straight. Sri Ramakrishna has a good place to go. Anything problem? Ma. Mother was his high court, you know, Supreme Court. Mother will tell this. George Bharat is the story is a deer, a pregnant deer, was chased by a tiger. And this Bharat, he was seated on the bank of the river, and this deer, mother deer, jumped into the river, giving birth to the baby. And this baby was raised by this Bharata, and then he became so much attached, and then in the next life he was born as a deer, but he was an Aura Brahman. I was listening the other day that what will happen in America. Do you know what? There are 78 million dogs in America now. 78 millions. So these people, I do not know what will happen into their next life. Love, but don't be attached, you know. I tell you, friend. Dogs. One of our devotees had 13 cats. Asked me, "Swami, do you like to have some?" "I can, thank you very much. I am attached to my books. That is enough for me at this life." 78 million dogs. How do they count? I do not know.
Licenses.
Huh?
Licenses. Dog license.
Is dogs have license in this country?
Yes.
That also I didn't know. Cat also have license?
Yes.
Less likely.
Anyhow, God bless America. One day he said to me, "You can see Krishna in your heart if you want." I replied, "I don't believe in Krishna or any such nonsense." He was a Brahmo. He does not believe in God. Murubas, do you know what Swamiji is? Swamiji attacked Krishna. He played with the girls, which is an immoral thing, so you know. He criticized Krishna and Radha business. Thakur was saying, "Look, don't criticize. You do not like it, it is perfectly all right. But why don't you check a little bit about the Radhas, these gopis' love for Krishna? That love aspect, attraction aspect, why don't you take that aspect? Forget the other things." Sri Ramakrishna is very, very rational. The gopis' love for Krishna, take that aspect. Forget Krishna gopis. He's very, very, he's really, you cannot argue with him. Take this aspect. Always remember, a gospel of Ramakrishna. Do you think all teachings are for me? No way! Oh, Ramakrishna's teachings are not for you, uncle? No way! There are some teachings are hypocrites. There are some teachings householders. There are some teaching monks. There are some teaching bad people. He is an incarnation of God. He will have to give teachings to all kinds of people. If he speaks only for the monastics, then what good is Ramakrishna? Some people say, "Oh, I love Jesus." Uncle, love Jesus? Is it so easy? Sell whatever you have and then follow me. Who will going to do that? Deny yourself before you follow me. Follow me. Read the Bible. Even a jackal has a place to leave hole, but the Son of God has no place to keep his head. Full of renunciation. Who can follow Jesus? He did not care for, but at the same time, Sri Ramakrishna was trying to, because he was a Jnani, he was trying to bring devotion in his mind. Do you know what did he do? There is a Jagannath Prasad, some dry rice, dry bhat, that he put into the sandesh and give to Vivekananda to eat, so that Naren can have some devotion. One day he told, do you want to see the form of Radha? Sir, if you do like, immediately Sri Ramakrishna took the form of Radha. If you read my book, that How to Live with God, there I wrote how many ways Sri Ramakrishna appeared before the devotees. Once I said to him, the forms of gods and things like that which you see in your visions are all figments of your imagination. He had no such faith in my words that he went to the Divine Mother in the temple and told her what I had said to him. He asked her, are these hallucinations then? Afterwards he said to me, Mother told me that all these are real. As he said, any problem, Sri Ramakrishna ran to the Mother. Not only that, he found a big piece of a stone in front of the concert tower in Dakshineswar. Do you know what Sri Ramakrishna said? Mother, if my visions are true, let this stone jump 3 times. And that stone jumped 3 times. Sri Ramakrishna never said anything which he did not practice thrice. When you read the Gospel of Ramakrishna or Divine Play, you know those words are true. Mother never spoke any untruth through my lips. That Sri Ramakrishna said. Again he said to me, when you sing, he who dwells here, touching his heart, like a snake, he says, as it were, and then, spreading his hood, quietly holds himself steady and listens to your music. You see, Swami Vivekananda was a fantastic singer. But when you sing, my kundalini rises, the serpent power, and it, you see, serpents like music. I remember, I have not seen it, but I heard in our village, that one violinist used to play violin 4 o'clock in the morning. Instead of disturbing his wife, he was playing this, it is a village, in the veranda, he is playing his music. And a snake, a cobra, came from the garden and behind him is nodding his head. And his wife shouted, the moment opened the door, found behind her husband, the husband is unaware that a snake was behind him, that the wife shouted, cried out. Immediately the snake hit the husband. Because you have broken the rhythm, the music, the rhythm was going on, you broke the rhythm. But Swamiji says, when you sing, my kundalini rises. In this connection, I shall tell you another story. One night, Sri Ramakrishna was very hungry. He asked his nephew, hey, bring some food for me. There was no sandesh that day in Sri Ramakrishna's room. Ramlal went to Nahabad and asked, oh, khudi, aunt, uncle is hungry, make some farina pujing for him. So Holy Mother made some farina pujing and Golapma carried in a stone bowl. Sri Ramakrishna could not use metallic bowl. Stone bowl carried farina pujing, halwa. And Golapma came and saw that Sri Ramakrishna was pacing back and forth in his room, hungry. Then he sat down. Kerosene lantern, no electricity. So he was eating. He was eating, eating. Then Sri Ramakrishna asked Golapma. She was seated there. Do you know who is eating? Master, it seems that somebody is eating, sitting inside you. You are right. It is the kundalini, the serpent power, was galloping food from inside. You know, we have read many books, we read many lives, but we have never heard such things in from anybody in, except Sri Ramakrishna. Religion became living. We, Sri Ramakrishna and I, talk to our revealed book, the Vedas of our Bible, of your Bible, of the Quran and of revealed books in general. At the close of our talk, this good man asked me to go to the table and take up a book. It was a book which, among other things, contained a forecast of the rainfall during the year. The sage said, "Read that." And I read out the quantity of rain that was to fall. He said, "Now take the book and squeeze it." I did so, and he said, "Why, my boy, not a drop of water comes out. Until the water comes out, it is all book. Book. So until your religion makes you realize God, it is useless. He who only studies books for religion reminds one of the fable of the ass which carried a heavy load of sugar on his back but did not know the sweetness of it." Books. It is almanac. It forecasts all the rainfall of the year. If we squeeze it, there is no rain. So in the books, God's message, everything is there. But you are reading book. Do you know what is the difference between intellectual knowledge and spiritual knowledge? Intellectual knowledge means intellectually you know, but you have not practiced it. Tobacco brings cancer. Intellectually I know, but still I smoke tobacco. I have a student. 3-4 times I took away a cigarette from her and put it into the garbage. Her argument is that oh God, what is called John, he is the man. He is smoked 94 years, smokes Juruch, he doesn't have any cancer.
George Burns.
George Burns. George Burns smokes cigar, 94 years old, he doesn't have any cancer. That is our argument. So tobacco does not bring cancer. So I must smoke. Later on, she was a stroke, invalid, died. That is called intellectual knowledge. Our spiritual knowledge, it is the nervous association of ideas. It goes to your bloodstream. Even you cannot bear the smell of cigarette. Oof. Smoker, second-hand smoker. That means immediately, even unconsciously, your body will react. Spiritual knowledge is different. Scripture. What does the scripture do? It tells away the path. But you will have to walk. You have the GPS with your car. But if you do not drive, you do not reach your destination. So scripture are like GPS. It will tell you that where to go. some young people used to come to Sri Ramakrishna, "Sir, have you read Panchadashi?" "Tut, tut, tut, abhidda, abhidda, abhidda." "Sir, have you read Kant, Hegel, Schopenhauer?" "Tut, tut, tut, abhidda, abhidda." "Those are all ignorance. Don't talk about the books." Mother taught me everything. I put all the scriptures around my neck and I danced. Mother gave me all knowledge. That is Sri Ramakrishna. But scripture helps. Do you know what? Here is an apple. And here is the skin. If you do not have the skin, that apple will be rotted. That the skin is very essential to develop that apple, and when it's ripe, it, we peel the skin and we eat the inside flesh. So scriptures, all those things, ritual, they're all like skin, like husk of the rice. You do not eat rice with husk. You remove the husk and then you eat the rice. That is the scripture. And Shankara wrote in his Casual of Discrimination, "Lokanuvartanam taktva taktva dehanuvartanam shastranuvartanam taktva swadhyasapanayanam kuru." Lokanuvartanam, shun name and fame, power position. Taktva dehanuvartanam, shun, give up this body idea. Shastranuvartanam taktva, shun the desire to become a scholar, pandit, scripture. Swadhyasapanayanam kuru, deepnotize yourself that I am the Brahman, I am Atman. Those verses are gradual of discrimination, are so beautiful. So scriptures are helpful. It gives holy company. It keeps our mind in a higher plane of consciousness. But God realization is different. Japam and meditation, that is very, very important. I did not believe in anything at first. I did not accept most of what the master said. One day I asked him, and he asked me, "Then why do you come here?" I replied, "I come here to see you, not to listen to you." He was very much pleased. "I love you, that is the reason I come, not that I love you. I preach more than you." Later on, do you know what Vivekananda said to Ramakrishna? "Sir, do you have any medicine so that I may forget what I have learned?" Sometimes too much learning, too many things, you know, it becomes undigested. Our Swami Vivekananda Ji used to say, "Don't read too many books." Suppose here are 50 gourmet dishes. If you eat all those dishes, your stomach will be upset. Make one or two good dishes and eat it, enjoy it. Not 50 dishes. It happened to me once. I went to a women's organization to give a talk. And they asked me, "What do you want to eat?" So I asked, "It's like rice and little fish soup and something." So all 10 ladies brought 10 kinds of fish soup. And to satisfy them, I ate all 10, and at 2 o'clock at night, I started to throw up and became sick. So you see, too many good magicians are not good. One or two, enough. I will love you, so I come to see you. One day when I was alone with him, he said something to me. Nobody else was present, he said, "It is not possible for me to exercise occult powers, but I shall do so through you. What do you say?" "No," I replied, "you cannot do that." what happened, one day Sri Ramakrishna said to Swamiji, you know, eight occult powers are bubbling inside me. I like to give you that power. Anima, you can become minute. Loghima, you become light, you can walk over the ocean. Mohima, you can be like vast mountain. Ishitto, Boshitto, Jatra Kamavashitto, there are eight occult powers are bubbling inside me. Do you like to have them? Sir, will they help me to realize God? No, but you can show miracles. You can show miracles. Sir, let us first realize God, then I shall think about it. Sri Ramakrishna was so pleased that this person was not tempted to have the occult powers. If there is another yogi, guru, baba, get those powers, could you imagine what they would do? They will be billionaire in this country. I sometimes say, you know, if I have that power, if I learn how to cure cancer through my occult power, do you know what will happen? All medical, American Medical Association people will engage a mafia to kill me. The all doctors will be out of business. I wish to make a joke. Too many occult powers can destroy your life. I used to laugh at his words. I told him that his visions of God are all hallucinations of his mind. He said to me, I used to climb to the roof of the Kuti mansion. Cry, O devotees, where are you? Come to me. O devotees, I am about to die. I shall certainly die if I do not see you. And the Divine Mother told me, the devotees will come. You see, everything is turning out to be true. What else could I say? I kept quiet. But Sri Ramakrishna had to wait 23 years to get the devotees. His vision, first vision was 1856. And the devotees started to come from 1879. So avatar has to wait 23 years, you see. I sometimes think about it, you know. And he asked Latu Maharaj, how many devotees I have? Well, it's 29. So I sometimes make joke, if avatar gets 29, at least in my lecture I get 60, 70, 80, 100 sometimes, you know. I'm not so bad. Even avatar gets only 29, but I, my number. In this country, sometimes when I first came, what is his name? He was a famous physicist in UCLA. His wife was a devotee of Prabhavananda. Joseph Kaplan. He is a bosom friend of President Reagan when he was a governor. And Mr. Kaplan said, Swami, no, not too many people come to Vedanta. I tell him, well, those who really want to realize God, they come to Vedanta. Believe, you know, when Billy Graham called the crusade, 60,000 people. I tell him, well, Oprah Winfrey attracts 25 million people. So when Oprah is the greatest. It does not depend upon how many people come. Few. Jesus did not have million disciples, only 12. Ramakrishna had only 16. It depends among some genuine people, those who really sincerely want God in their lives. Just put your hand on your chest and ask, do I really want God? You will get a straight answer. Your indwelling self, he will tell you what really you want in your life. So Vedanta, don't expect many people in Vedanta. I used to follow my own whims in everything I did. The master never interfered. I became a member of the Sadharan Brahmo Samaj. The master knew the women attended the meetings of the Brahmo Samaj. A man cannot meditate with women sitting in front of him. Therefore, he criticized the meditation of the Brahmo Samaj. But he did not object to my going there. But one day he said to me, "Don't tell Rakhal about your being a member of the Brahmo Samaj, or he too will feel like becoming one." One day, the Brahmo meeting, the Brahmos, women will sit in the back and there will be a screen, a very thin screen behind the women. So Keshav was praying, "Oh Lord, let us dive into the God consciousness." Sri Ramakrishna was listening to their sermon. Then says, "Keshav, if we dive into that God consciousness, what will happen to those ladies who are behind the screen?" Thakur was so funny. "Keshav, what will happen to those ladies?" Swamiji used to sing a song, "Sadhan bhajan shar omon karo nirantar. Oh my mind, chant God's name uninterruptedly." Thakur said, "The thing which you do not do, what will you say that?" That is a Brahmo song. "Say, sadhan bhajan shar omon karo dine dubar. Oh my mind, do it twice a day." Nirantar means uninterruptedly. They were deviating from the truth. One cannot think of God all the time. How Sri Ramakrishna used to edit Swami Vivekananda. The thing which is truth, that you must say. You should not say anything which is untruth. Do you know what happened? Swamiji never bowed down to Kali or any gods and goddesses in the very beginning. One day he found Brahmananda was bowing down to Kali. Because both are close friends, only 10 days difference of age. They used to wrestle together and we would go to the same gym. Then, "Rakhal, you signed in the Brahma pledge that we shall never bow down to any Hindu gods and goddesses. You deviated from the truth." He pounded on him. Swami Brahmananda was scared. He was avoiding Swamiji. Then Sri Ramakrishna said, "Look, Naren, what to do? He has now a little devotion. For the reason he bowed down to the mother. Please don't scold him." At last, Swamiji stopped. He could not bear hypocrisy. It is impossible for him to see any hypocrisy. That is the beauty of Ramakrishna Vivekananda's religion. No hypocrisy. No show business. No commercialism. No selling mantra. When I found that the master did not bestow that kind of grace on my friends which he had done on me by accepting me and instructing me in spiritual matters, I used to praise him to bestow it also on them too. On account of boyish flippancy, I was ready on many occasions to argue with him on this point. I said, "Why, sir? God can never be so partial as to bestow his grace on some and not to on others. Why should you then not accept them as you have done me? Is it not certain that one can attain a spiritual realization by one's effort also, just as one can become a learned scholar if one puts forth sufficient effort?" The master replied, "What can I do, my child? Mother shows me that there is the beastly mental attitude of a bull in them. They cannot realize spirituality in this life. What can I do? And what is it to you? Is it you say? Can anyone become in this life what he wishes to be mere will and effort? But who lent an ear to the master's word then. I said, what do you say, sir? Can one become what one wishes to be if one wills and makes an effort? Surely one can. I cannot believe what you say about it. At this also, the master said the same thing. Whether you believe it or not, mother shows me that. I never accepted then what he said. But as time passed on, more and more did I understand from experience and what the master said was right and what I had thought was wrong. You see, Sri Ramakrishna went to Vidyasagar. Do you know what is their idea? All men are equal. All men are not equal. Sri Ramakrishna said, then why did I come to see you? Did you have grown two horns that I have come to see you? You are Vidyasagar. You are an ocean of learning. You are Karuna Sagar. You are an ocean of love and compassion. You have so many greatness. That is the reason I have come to see you. Sri Ramakrishna told Ishvachandra Vidyasagar. All human beings are not equal. Though you have two eyes, two hair, one hair, two ears, one nose, like all human beings, these things, my goodness, it is a hard difference. Each human being is different. Swamiji didn't argue. Yes, through self-effort one can make in this life. It is not possible. Some people have so much animal nature. Some people have very spiritual nature from the very beginning. All persons are not same. Your mind and my mind are not the same. As soon as they went to Dakshinisha, the master gave me those books which he forbade others to read. Among other books, a copy of Ashtavakra Sanghita was in his room. When the master found anyone reading that book, he would forbid him and would give him instead such books as Mukti and How to Attain It, the Bhagavad Gita, or some Purana. But scarcely had I gone to him when he took out that book and asked me to read it. Or he would ask me to read some parts of Adhyatma Ramayana, which is full of non-dualistic ideas. I would reply something blandly, what is the use of reading this book? It is a sin even to think I am God. The book teaches this blasphemy. It should be burnt. The master would just smile and say, Do I ask you to read it for yourself? I ask you to read a little to me. Ask it. Please do it. In that case, you will not have to think that you are God. So I had to read a little for him at his request. This is Ramakrishna's technique. How to change the mind of a rebel. He has very rebellious nature. It is not very, just read to me. And that Vivekananda is teaching America non-dualism. I am God. How Guru trained the disciple. Slowly. Sometimes we see in Ramakrishna's room, what are the books Ramakrishna had? One book was there, Mukti or Tahar Sadhan. That copy is with me. Not exact that copy, but that edition. It belonged to Swami Trigunatitananda. I got a copy. Mukti or Tahar Sadhan. Second, Adhyatma Ramayana. Third, Ashtavakra Sanghita. Fourth, Gita. Then, Bhagavatam. And what other books Sankur had? Anyhow, there are some books in Sri Ramakrishna room. Those he did not read, but he used to ask his disciples to read to him. Then what happened? The magic touch of the master one immediately brought a wonderful change over my mind. I was astounded to find that really there was nothing in the universe but God. I saw it clearly, but kept silent to see whether the impression would last. But it did not abate in the course of the day. I returned home. but there too everything I saw appeared to be Brahman. I sat down to take my meal, but found that everything, the food, the plate, the person who served, and even myself, was nothing but that. I ate a morsel or two and sat still. I was startled by my mother's word, "What do you sit still? Finish your meal." And then began to eat again. But all the while, whether eating or lying down or going to college, I had the same experience and felt myself always in sort of trance. While walking in the streets, I noticed cabs plying, but I did not feel inclined to move out of the way. I felt that the cabs and myself were of one stuff. There was no sensation in my limbs, which seemed to be becoming paralyzed. I did not relish eating and felt as if somebody else were eating. Sometimes I lay down during a meal. After a few minutes, I got up and again began to eat. The result would be on some days I would take too much, but it did no harm. My mother became alarmed and said that there must be something wrong with me. He was afraid that I might not live long. When there was a slight change in this state, the world began to appear dreamlike. While walking in Cornwallis Street, I would strike my head against the iron railings to see if they are real or only a dream. This state of things continued for some days. When I became normal again, I realized that I must have had a glimpse of the Advaita state. Then it struck me that the words of the scriptures are not false. Thenceforth, I could not deny the conclusions of Advaita philosophy. What happened? Swamiji was smoking hookah, hubble bubble, with Hazra and chatting. Sri Ramakrishna says everything is Brahman. Then Ghati Brahma, Bhati Brahma, pots and pans, and glass and plates, all these things, Brahman. Stupid! These are all stupid ideas. That he was chatting and smoking. Sri Ramakrishna overheard that conversation from his room. He put his slipper and came, "Hello! What are you talking about?" Just gave one touch. That he was talking about, that magic touch. What happened, the effect of the magic touch. Intoxicated, went to his home, saw mother is serving food, mother is Brahman, food is Brahman, I am Brahman. And he detailed, he gave what experience he had from that magic touch of Sri Ramakrishna. That is the reason Sri Ramakrishna said, Swamiji said in America, other people preach religion, Ramakrishna can give religion. His one glance, one touch can transform somebody's life. That is Ramakrishna. For the first time I had found a man who dared to say that he saw God, that religion was a reality to be felt, to be sensed in an infinitely more intense way than we can sense the world. I began to go to that man day after day, and actually I saw that religion could be given. One touch, one glance can change a whole life. I had read about Buddha and Christ and Muhammad, about all those different luminaries of ancient times, how they would stand up and say, "Be thou whole," and the man became whole. I now found it to be true, and when I myself saw this man, all the skepticism was brushed aside. It could be done, and my master used to say, religion can be given and taken more tangibly, more really than anything else in this world. The second idea that I learned from my master, and which it is perhaps the most vital, is the wonderful truth that the religions of the world are not contradictory or antagonistic. they are but various phases of one eternal religion. The one eternal religion is applied to different planes of existence, is applied to the opinions of various minds and various races. Swamiji gave two lectures in America, one in America, one in Wimbledon, in London, in England, on my master. He said that religion is not contradictory, complementary. You take a picture of the sun, rising sun, every hour you take a picture, then at night you see all pictures are different, but you have taken the picture of the same sun. So, all religions are different aspects of the same God. Different paths, that's all. But God is one. Sri Ramakrishna's experience, jato mat, tato path. As many faiths, so many paths. Do not quarrel, do not fight about religion. I shall stop here tonight.